It is so good to see you guys. How's everybody? Everybody's doing good? I wanted to know if any of you know what this is. Anybody know what this is? Handcuffs. Good guess. Emily, would you come and help me today? Emily, could you tell us what these are?
The bit goes in the horse's mouth like this.
And what is that used for?
Used to control the horse and tell the horse how fast to go so he doesn't take off on you and go galloping off into the distance.
Does it help him turn corners?
Yep, it helps him turn corners.
And how does that work?
Well, I think it's pretty scientific.
Well, go. We're not too scientific. Okay.
Basically, the bit applies pressure on the horse's corners of his mouth and on the roof of his mouth, and that directs him by the pressure which way to turn.
Okay, so like if this was in the horse's mouth and I pulled this way, he would go this way.
Yes.
And if I pulled this way, he would go this way.
Yes.
But horses are so big and this is so little. How does that work?
I don't know how, it just does.
Just how we practice. Just say how we act. No, we didn't. But this is very effective in controlling a horse, isn't it?
It is extremely effective, uh-huh. And it is a very small piece of metal for a very big horse.
Right. So do you think that the mouth is a very important part of the horse?
Yes, it's a very sensitive part.
Very sensitive. And the mouth helps you control the horse, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Do you think that that might work in people, too? Not bits, but I mean... I'm not suggesting anything like that.
Yes. There are, you have sensitive parts, just like a horse has a sensitive mouth. People have sensitive parts, like their heart is very sensitive. So when you guide a person's heart, I'm sure that would help turn them in the ways that they go.
Okay, but we have diverged from the children's message.
Okay.
So, and so what I wanted to maybe suggest to you all, is it as important as the mouth is to a horse? That is as important as our mouth is to us. And because, you know, you can make a horse do a lot of things with their mouth, can't you?
Yes.
And people have a lot of power with their mouths, with the words they say. And so I wanted to maybe talk to you about that and to suggest that you be very, very careful because mouths are also very, very important in people. And we can do good things with our mouths and we can do bad things with our mouths, can't we?
Yes.
Okay, and just like this bit controls the horse, it's good for us to let God control our mouths so that we can do good things with our mouths. Does everybody understand that? Gotcha? Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. This is a Snapple bit, by the way, and this one is very, very gentle on the horse. Okay, bow your heads. Well, Father God, we understand that a horse can be led by a bit in his mouth. And he's a very big animal. And we pray that you would help us to remember that our mouths are very important and that there are many, many good and bad things that can happen depending on the words we use. And we pray right now that you would help us to only do good with the words that we speak. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I think next to Jakey, you have, thank you for your help, Miss Emily.
Wonderful peace coming to
Stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. That's a saying that we teach our children when they're young to help them deal with the unfairness of growing up. But what we know as adults is that the saying isn't true. Words, just like sticks and stones, can break our bones. Or at least they can break our hearts. You know, we seldom recognize the power of speech or our language or the words that we use. A pastor was making a point one time and he said to the whole congregation, I am not saying this to you, but he said to his whole congregation, stand up. And they did. And then he said, turn around and face the back of the church. And they did. And he said, now turn around and face me. And they did. And then finally he said, now sit down. And they did. And then what he proceeded to explain, he said, the point I'm making is that words have power. And they can make things happen. Words can be bullets that penetrate your heart. And they can inflict wounds when they are directed towards others. On the flip side, words can bring joy, they can bring peace, they can bring healing. Think about the difference between these two statements. I love you. I hate you. Words can wound people, but they can also help heal. Now, this lesson is particularly significant for us in our modern day culture because, you know, we spend huge amount of times and thinking about our diets. Or is this only in our home? Is this only with my family members? I mean, my goodness, to be so preoccupied with what we eat, how we eat, when we eat. We are so consumed with what goes into our mouths. But we just don't seem very interested in what comes out of them. Jesus said in Matthew 15, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles the person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Have you listened to the conversation of your children lately? Have you heard what's on like an MTV or what they're even streaming on their own electronic devices? Have you even looked at the titles of television shows? Because honestly, I don't watch them, but there's shows like Scandal and Mistresses. Oh, now there's a wholesome show for you. What's that? And Revenge? Yes. Oh, yeah. Now there's a Christian concept. Years ago, there was Arrested Development. Oh, yeah, that's where I want to go. How to Get Away with Murder. Thank you very much. Oh, my goodness, nothing can top that one. 10 years ago, there was a group called Porno for Pyros. Yeah, you remember them? I'm sure Jakey was probably listening. Jakey probably played with them. Okay. He's been delivered since then. You know, there's a new show out called Straight from Compton. You've seen it? It was about a rapper. He has some stellar words in his songs, too. Taking out a police will make my day. Woohoo! Public Enemy years ago sang a tune that says, beating down a woman, actually the word was not woman, till she almost died. Yeah, I want to be married to that guy. But time and time again, parents are told, you know, you need to loosen up. You need to get with the program. Using foul language is no big deal, we're told, in the world in which we live. When you're out in a store, you can hear little kids cursing out their parents. It's just the Holy Spirit that keeps me from just thumping those kids. Meanwhile, we live in an age where young women, more than we care to admit, have babies or at least one abortion before they turn 16, but they can't find Italy on the map. You know, our daughter-in-law was struggling with disciplining our second to youngest grandchild, the infamous Jack. I bought her a book. It's a Christian classic, Raising the Strong-Willed Child. I figured she needed it. Now, in there is a chapter on corporal punishment. It suggests that there are circumstances that call for spanking in the raising of a child. In fact, it was suggested that there are occasions where it is not only appropriate, that it is very wise to spank a child, and that you do your child a disservice in those situations by not spanking them. Well, it came out in a book. This has been, oh golly, could be 20 years now. Sold really, really well, went into several publications, but then somebody took offense. The book now has fallen out of favor, but it's been edited, and it has really toned down the corporal punishment chapter. We have OD'd on tolerance in our society, and we are more concerned with our little children's bottoms than we are with their brains. We are more interested in their clothing than we are interested in their character. We are more concerned with what goes into their mouths than what comes out of their mouths. You know, as Christians, we are brutally aware, aren't we, that it begins with our example in the home. How much loving and positive speaking is there in our homes? Between husband and wife, How do we speak to each other that the children hear? How do we talk to our children? How often do we give them words of encouragement? How often do we criticize? Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That was in our scripture lesson for this morning. James 1:26 says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. James 3:3 says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by such a small spark. All of us here this morning have been set on fire by someone else's tongue. Can I get an amen for that? And let's just be honest. We have all set some pretty good fires ourselves, haven't we? You know, Mother Teresa is quoted as saying, let no one come to you without going away better and happier. Every one of us has the power to use words and language to extend God's grace to those who hear them. God bless you. Every one of us here this morning has the power to inspire other people to be better. You know, I had a book in my library years ago. It was young for young people. Now, quite honestly, it was about sex. It was called Armed and Dangerous. But in it, it's clever. Clever. Armed and Dangerous. That's clever. I don't care who you are. In it, a young girl was asked why she had broken up with her old boyfriend and taken up with a new boyfriend. And she said, when I was with Robert, he impressed me how great he was. But when I was with Jonathan, he made me feel great about myself. Jesus said, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and they are what make a man unclean. What comes out of your mouth reveals what is in your heart. Ask yourself the hard questions this morning. Are you someone who just dwells on personal hurts? Is that you? Do you hold on to perceived insults in your life? Are you filled with bitterness or contempt or anger? Are you easily offended? Do you get your feelings hurt easily? These are all signs of not being mature in your faith, not being right with God, not having a good sense of who you are in Jesus. Now, if those are the emotions that are keeping you up at night, if they are eating away at your peace, prayerfully ask the Lord to clean your heart and to replace all those destructive emotions with love and compassion and forgiveness. Let me share something that has worked for me for years, okay? Whenever I get totally frustrated with someone, I mean, just like over the edge, I make the decision to lift them up in prayer. And I mean concerted, concentrated prayer. Okay, so if you go out and go by a door and I am in concerted, concentrated prayer for you, you have frustrated me. Now, if the last thing I would want to see for this person is for the Lord to bless them, then, and there are those times, you know, that's kind of the last thing we want to see for people. Then that's what I pray for. That's exactly what I pray for. I have found that the best way to get over a hurt, the best way to get over a bad emotion is to just pray for somebody you're disgusted with or somebody who has hurt you the most and just pray that the Lord just bless them, because that's the last thing you want to really see. You know, and so you know that that's not right. And so you want to, once again, pretend you're better than you are, and you lift them up before the Lord, and you go, Lord, just bless their socks off. Just bless them, you know. Just pour out the floodgates of blessing on their lives, you know. Praying for that individual will soften the contempt and bitterness that you have towards them. They will release you. It will release you from the bondage that they have you in to them with unforgiveness. And it will move you to forgive them. And they will no longer have any bond. They will no longer be able to tie you down at all. And that is a wonderful freedom to feel. You know, I've recently wondered to myself, if someone followed me around all day with a digital recorder, how would it sound if it was played back at the end of the day? You know, what would the tone of my voice be? What kind of words will I be caught using? What kind of language would I be using? Think about it just for a minute. What would a recording of your day say about your character when no one's watching? When no one's there in the house and you're just with those close to you, what would that reveal about you? What would it reveal about who you truly are inside? It is so hard, isn't it, to live with a higher calling. It's a challenge to be upbeat in the home, especially when the dog just barfed on the floor. It's hard to be positive at home and at work and at school. And it is easy to become depressed or to let our attitude degenerate to the point of evil speaking or complaining. That is just so easy for us to go there. But remember, it is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It is what comes out of your mouth. One of the great minds of our time said it this way: our vocabulary is an indication of our intellect. Our words provide a window to our character. Our grammar reveals the degree of our refinement. Our speech is a reflection of our spirit. We must always, always, always be careful how we speak to each other, especially in our homes. You know, there was a public service advertisement for the National Committee for the Prevention of Child Abuse. I don't know if you remember it. It said, words can hit as hard as a fist. And it listed some words that parents say to their children. You disgust me. Just shut up. You're pathetic. You can't do anything right. You're really stupid. Don't you know how to listen? Get out of here. I'm sick of looking at your face. And accompanying these terrible comments that some parents might use on their children is a picture of a child with tears in their eyes, along with a caption, "Children believe what their parents tell them." When a parent tells their child that he is stupid, he believes it. And that belief is carried into adulthood. If a girl is told she's disgusting, she's going to develop that as a part of her self-identity and will forever reflect that in her behavior. I remember in our close family, there was someone who understood about being left back in school and kept telling his son, you know, "Oh, I was left back in school and it was terrible. You know, there were so many times I wanted to quit, you know. Nobody would have blamed me if I would have wanted to quit." Well, guess what happened when that boy got to be 16? He quit school. Exactly. He quit school. He's doing okay now, but it took him a long time to shed that stigma, I'll tell you. We have to be very, very careful how we speak. I have to tell you, one time Ian was a little boy in the car. I know some of you, I've shared this story with some of you. We're driving down coming down the Schuylkill Mountain, and he was just acting crazy, acting up, you know, making me nuts. And I just said to him, I said, "Ian, sometimes I wonder whose son you are." It went dead silent in the car. And I looked in the rearview mirror. I can hardly tell this story. I looked in the rearview mirror and I looked back and he was looking out the window sobbing. Yeah. He doesn't remember that, but man, it kills me every day. The Bible instructs us to be careful how you live. Live as wise people. And that applies to what comes out of our mouths. Do you one of the premarital workbooks I used to use, don't use it anymore, you're safe, Robert, had this question in it. It said, write down 3 compliments you have each received from each other during the past few days. If they couldn't remember anything positive that their fiancé had said to them, even that early in their relationship, kind of in my heart, I'm thinking, whoa, you know, this is not the basis of a solid relationship. How many times, wives, how many times, husbands, have you been cut to the quick by something that your husband or wife said to you in jest, as a joke, and you laughed, but you were bleeding on the inside? It reminds me of a story about a guy who was sprawled out in front of his television with popcorn and beer cans all around him. I know that would be none of you guys. It would be soda cans. His wife stood in front of the screen. She had her hands on her hips, and she said, I want to know right now, do you love me more than football? And he was real quiet, and he said, well, I love you more than hockey. But every one of us needs to hear reassuring words. We need to hear words of love and of comfort from time to time. Those are healing words. They build bridges of love and of understanding and of loyalty. And they encourage gentleness and peace and patience. If we are critical, guess what we get in return? We get criticism. If we are kind, we get kindness in return. Ask yourself another tough question this morning. Do your kids or your husband or your wife, do they look forward to you coming home from work? Or does a level of anxiety raise in the house when you walk through the door? Ask yourself that question. If it does, man, you have some praying to do. Does your husband or wife feel better about themselves because of you? Listen to this anonymous poem. It's just so lovely. I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. It's a love poem. You know, you young people, you can feel free to copy this later. Okay. I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but for what you are making of me. I love you for putting your hand into my heaped up heart and passing over all of the foolish, weak things that you can't help dimly seeing there and drawing out into the light all of the beautiful things that no one else had looked quite far enough to find. I love you because you are helping me to make the lumber of my life not into a tavern, but into a temple. Out of the works of my everyday, not a reproach, but a song. Isn't that lovely? I wish I knew who wrote that. During these dog days of summer, let us just take some time to intentionally think about the words we use, about our language, because our words can hurt or they can help heal. And always remember Paul's command, let no bad word pass your lips, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Let us decide today to treat everyone that we come in contact with kindness and respect. And to keep a tight rein on our tongues. And to use words that extend God's grace to all who hear them. Thereby giving the Lord permission to work that same grace in our own hearts. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know who we are. There are no secrets with you. We pray, Father, giving you permission to make us better people. And to remind us to treat all with kindness and respect. And we pray that when we are tempted for unhealthy words to come from our mouths, that by your Holy Spirit you would catch us up short. And that we would listen. And that we would not speak those bad words. And that we would only speak what is useful for encouragement. Not that we agree, but that we are respectful. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. And don't forget, next Friday is packing boxes for the food pantry. And how come that's a week later, Jeanette? How come that's a week later? Caught ya.
Blue moon.
Blue moon.